Live from the Civic Media Studios at WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Alba. It is Friday, Mimosa Friday here, and we are in the RC, ladies and gentlemen. Finally, we have made it home to where it all began, at least for old Toddy here in Richland Center, coming to you live from WRCE Studios in Richland Center, Wisconsin. Not quite the studios, because the studios are being used by my colleagues, but we are in the conference room, and we got our own window. So look at that. Well, snow is falling out here at RCE in Richland Center. Mr. Zomers, our producer engineer, as always, how are you this morning?
Pretty good. Windows more than I've got in the production booth here in Madison.
But that's all going to change, I think, once we move into this new studios down on State Street.
Fancy.
I know, right? Right. Yes, I am here. I'm not sure what it is. It's the fresh air. It's getting to see the stars at night. When I drove back to mom's place to stay overnight, maybe it was being inspired by all the great local folks last night at the town hall meeting for the UW Richland campus. But I'm in a great mood, a little feisty this morning, and gonna have a lot of fun. Gonna have a report. Joining us here in a few minutes is going to be WRCE News Director Joanne Krulatz. She was also at the meeting last night for UW Richland, in which State Senator Howard Markline and State Representative Tony Kurtz were there. Also, Vice President of University Relations for the UW system, Jeff Barant, also in attendance. A guy I know well, spent a lot of nights in the Capitol working on legislation in a bipartisan fashion together. He was there. I'm going to tell you about the conversation we had on the record all the way out to the parking lot. It was witnessed by many. So it was quite the shindig, and old Toddy didn't sleep real well. Actually, I did sleep actually just fine, but woke up and ready to go. So we will talk about that in just a few minutes. Also, Phil Nee, station manager for WRCE, WRCO, and host of Those Were the Days. He and Chad Holmes up at Bull Falls Radio, probably the two hardest working on-air people we have in the entire Civic Media Network. So Phil Nee will be along in the 9 o'clock hour, and then in the 10 o'clock hour at 10:15, if we can make everything work, Sean Murphy Lopez, the vice chairman of the Richland County Board, who was also at the meeting last night for the Richland campus, he will be in and tell us his thoughts on the meeting last night. But first of all, here is your news, my friends. A little look at weather for January 27th, 2023. Yes, I can remember what year it is. Forecast for today, if you're right here in RC, in Richland Center in southwest Wisconsin, it is a little bit of snow falling right now. I can tell you, light flurries. Expect rain and snow. Some patchy blowing snow is possible this morning. A high of 32 degrees here in Richland Center. Tonight, some cloudy skies, breezy, then isolated snow showers, a low of 11. And tomorrow, Saturday, snow showers likely and a high of 18. Maybe 1 to 3 inches possible here in RC tomorrow on Saturday. Moving up to Wausau, the central part of the state. Today, 100% chance of snow. It's probably snowing right now in Wausau. And then it's going to taper off. I have more blowing snow. Probably only around an inch of total accumulation today possible in Wausau. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 8. And tomorrow, Saturday, a 20% chance of snow and a high of 14. Over in beautiful Amory, Lake Air Radio over there in Amory can expect some snow today, patchy blowing snow. Again, probably only about an inch of accumulation possible and expect a high of 23. Then falling temperatures throughout the day. Tonight in Amory, mostly cloudy, blustery skies, mostly cloudy skies, a low of -2. Going to be a little chilly. Put another log on the fire up there in Amory. And tomorrow, Saturday, mostly cloudy and a high of -13. And by Tuesday, expecting only a high of slightly above 0. Maybe single digits up at Amory and for much of the rest of the part of the state next week. And it is going to be chilly. So make sure you get the coats and whatnot out and you are set and ready to go. News headlines. Here's what you need to know this morning. After five Memphis police officers were charged yesterday in the death of Tyree Nichols following a traffic stop earlier this month, authorities say video footage of the fatal police encounter will be released to the public today. Amid concerns that the violent video will spark national outrage, officials have called for calm and for any demonstrations to be conducted in a civil manner. Nicholas's attorney, Ben Krupp, described the arrest as a prolonged, brutal attack that will, quote, remind you of Rodney King in many regards, unquote, referencing the 1991 Los Angeles police beating that sparked riots and police public outcry. Nicholas, a 29-year-old black man, was hospitalized after Memphis police used force to arrest him on January 7th. He died from his injuries 3 days later. Breaking news this morning, the governor of Georgia declaring a state of emergency in Georgia, calling out the National Guard ahead of the release of this video to help quell any protests that might pop up. Certainly thinking of the people in Georgia today. COVID-19 this morning, only about 15% of the U.S. population has gotten their updated COVID-19 booster shots, including this guy right here. I had to wait a little while after I had COVID last month, so I will be getting mine very soon. That signaled a low vaccine uptake across the country. To help increase that number, a panel of independent experts that advises the FDA voted yesterday to harmonize COVID-19 vaccines to improve and simplify the process. Currently, the U.S. offers two types of COVID-19 vaccines, the primary series and boosters. The first shots people get, the primary series, teach the immune system to fight off the original version of the virus, which emerged in 2019. Then, due to a parade of new variants, the FDA last year updated the vaccine. We're going to come back, talk with Joanne Krulots, and more after this. You're listening to the Tom Allball Show right here on the Civic Media Radio. To the Tom Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Time is 8:15. Glad you're joining us. So we are here live at our studios and WRCE in Richland Center. We need a hero, folks. We've got one right here next to me, Joanne Krulots, our news director at WRCE and our sister station, WRCO, as well. She was at the meeting last night for the Richland campus. It was a town hall meeting. State Senator Howard Markline was there. Also, State Representative Tony Kurtz and Jeff Brandt, He's a big title. He's vice president of the UW system for university relations and right hand to President Jay Rothman of the UW system. So they were all there listening for the most part. Most of the speakers were town people. And then those three gentlemen spoke at the end of the night. I got here a little late because I had meetings in at the mothership back in Madison's. So I got there for the last 45 minutes to an hour, I guess, of the meeting. But Joanne, you were there all night. I guess what was your takeaway from the evening last night?
I left with one big question. What happened from mid-October when they were discussing about downsizing, using less buildings, but doubling their student population? So you'd maybe use 4 or 5 of the buildings out of the 7. And instead of 55 students, have 110.
Right.
That was the discussion with local people here and with Tammy Vedovich. Chancellor Platteville. And she was on board for that. Everybody was on board for that. And then the middle of November, you find out from a press release that your campus is no longer going to have in-person classes.
Go ahead. I think I too came away with this timeline, right? And I think this is the thing that's just irritating a lot of people here in Richland Center, a lot of people across the state, is this lack of transparency on the part of the UW system, on the part of Platteville. And I'm not sure if it's lack of transparency or just seems to be a reluctance of state elected officials in Senator Markline, Representative Kurtz, to help find those answers. Maybe they don't know the answers to that, but it would seem that at least for local folks here in Richland Center, they would want to find those answers out. I talked to Mayor Todd Coppernall, Mayor of Richland Center, last night a little bit afterwards. He was at, I believe, some of those meetings in October. Right. And I think, I mean, he spoke to the public and raised some of these same things that you did.
Well, and Chancellor Yovetovich and Mayor Todd Coppernall were on WRCO's morning show in October talking about how they were going to downsize but double their, that was the plan, you right. know. So what happened from middle October to middle of November? And the other thing is, because, you know, Representative Tony Kurtz told people, told the, those that were there last night, he literally had a meeting set up with local leaders, with the UW system, with President Jay Rothman for December 7th to discuss the future of the campus. He had been trying since 2019 to find out the future of the campus from Chancellor Dennis Shields and got nowhere.
Right.
But then he has this meeting set up for December 7th, but he gets a phone call on November 21st saying the campus was no longer going to offer in person.
It doesn't make sense to me, Joanne. And again, I worked at the Capitol on and off for over 25 years and have quite a bit of experience. I mean, my former boss, Dale Schultz, a former state senator from this area, he of course, was majority leader at one time, but he was either on or the chairman of the Senate Committee on University Higher Education for a number of years. And I worked for him when he was the chairman of that committee. He was just, I don't want to say just, but he was the chairman of the committee that oversaw university relations for the state Senate. And he would get phone calls from the president, from the president's people, from different chancellors, informing him well ahead of time what things they were thinking about and what they were doing. The point is, he was the chairman of that committee. Senator Markline is the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, the most powerful committee, the committee that writes the budgets for the state. And this campus is in his district. I had a talk with Representative Kurtz after the meeting last night. I asked him again when they were told. He repeated it was they were given the information, according to Representative Kurtz, the day before it became public. So for now, I'm willing to take him at his word for that. All right. But it begs the question that you say, why? That then you're telling me that system never told their elected officials that affected that district? And was it, did Platteville know about this ahead of time? Or was this truly a surprise to Platteville?
What I'm getting is it was a surprise to everyone. And so my question is, does one man have that much power?
Right.
And I asked that question and, you know, of course, nobody wants to say he does, but then what I look at this as, this is true democracy then, because one person decided what was best for an entire community, and the entire community is taking their democracy literally, and they are fighting it.
Right.
That, to me, is what democracy is all about.
Right. No, I could. Those are the heroes, really, in my book, is this community. I mean, I was moved and touched by the outpouring of stories from young students to people who have been in this community. Gene Burkett, who was a charter faculty member, I believe, of the campus.
She's
in her 90s.
Yes.
And she let him have it, you know? And so, I mean, I think it's terrific that this community has pulled together. I think it's terrific that the county board took an on-the-record unanimous vote to pursue saving this campus. The mayor is on board. I mean, I honestly don't know anybody in this community who thinks it should be closed.
Well, in the background information, too, when you see the foundation support, the community support, it was like the example for all campuses, 2 and 4 year campuses,
right.
Community support, financial support. What happened?
Right.
That all of a sudden, I mean, we still got the financial support. Right. Foundation has $6 million, you know.
Let's say that again, make sure that people that aren't in, and again, I want to remind our listeners in Wausau and Amory and other parts of the state, they're listening in, and you're saying, Todd, why do you keep coming back to this? Why do you keep, and it's because Howard Marklein, state senator, co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, and Representative Tony Kurtz, who is on the Finance Committee, on our sister station right here in Richland Center, WRC on the morning show, longtime host Ron Fruit. Two, 3 weeks ago they were on, and they said very clearly, I got the quote written down, that they don't believe this will be the last institution of the UW system closed down 2 or 4 years, that everything is on the table. And so I think this is a heads up to every higher education system in the UW system, with the exception of probably UW-Madison and Milwaukee. But everybody else should be on call on this. And this is why it affects everyone, is because this is kind of the canary in the coal mine. And to your point, Joanne, there are $6 million in a little town like this, 5,000 people, 17,000 roughly in the county, one of the poorest counties in the state, $6 million sitting in the private foundation for the campus. They offered to use $600,000 of that to pay for their own recruiter. And they were told by Platteville they couldn't do it.
And, you know, there was last night's meeting wasn't to put blame on anybody. It was, what can we do, you know, to bring back this campus? And the consensus was, we can't do anything by fall because you already, you know, have announced there's no classes. So students are looking elsewhere.
Right.
But so let's come up with a plan for the next 2 years. And there were some good ideas. I mean, there was ideas by former professors and people from the community. But it's like, now what do we do next? Because if we don't get funding from the UW system, it's all for naught.
Right. And that's the thing. I listen to some of these things, Joanne. Again, I love the creativity. I love the thought of the local community. But as was pointed out in this editorial by the Valley Sentinel a couple of weeks ago, on the legal side, the clock is ticking, right? This contract between the system and the county can be nullified on June 30th of any year if there are two things, or at least it's not clear whether both things have to happen or one. The legislature fundamentally changes how the branch campus operates, the legislature says. Two, if the legislature doesn't provide adequate funding. So it's unclear whether both of those things have to happen or one. The point is, June 30th is the drop dead date, and unless there is adequate funding provided by the legislature, they can claim that this contract is null and void. And then there really is no going back, correct?
Right. Yeah.
So to me, as somebody who worked in the Capitol and knows this process, the budget writing process, fairly well, what really needs to happen is one of the two legislators that sit on the Finance Committee from this community, Howard Marklein, who's the co-chair, or Tony Kurtz, who's the representative, they need to make a motion. They need to put it in the budget funding for the next, at least the next 2 years, because without the funding, it's not going to happen.
Well, put the funding in. I mean, and Tony Kurtz did give examples. He's put funding into the budget before, and it gets vetoed by the governor, which that can happen, but at least let's look at what we can do.
I thought that was a complete cop out. I'm sorry. It was a complete cop out because you're telling me that a Democratic governor, 3-time elected state school superintendent, who has a bachelor's, a master's, and a PhD in education from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, you actually think, not you, but Representative Kurtz thinks that governor is going to veto out funding for the Richland campus if the legislature puts it in? Come on now. I mean, I know it's partisan out there, but you don't think that Tony Evers like to have a win out here? Not you, but I mean, that's the rhetorical question I ask, because I you know, Kurtz brought up, well, I put this in the budget, I put that in the budget, and the governor vetoed it out. You really think, Representative Kurtz, if you put this in the budget, he's going to veto it? And you know what? If he does, make political hay. Republicans should run ad after ad and put millions of dollars behind it that Tony Evers is a fraud, that he doesn't care. If Evers would actually veto that out of the budget, I don't think there's any way Evers would do that. But if he would actually be that dumb to veto it out, then go after him. But why not use it for your political advantage if you're Republicans? Put it out there.
Who I really want to hear from is Jay Rothman.
Don't we all?
Not his representative or anything else. I want to hear from Jay
Rothman. Don't we all? And when you come back, I got a story about Jay Rothman's representative, Jeff Brandt. You're not going to want to miss it. We went to the parking lot, folks. Old Toddy followed some people in the parking lot in Mike Wallace style. I'll tell you all about it when we come back. We're coming up, I believe, on a break here, Mr. Zombers. Is that true or not? I'm looking for you. I can't quite see it.
Yes.
All right. Very good. Awesome. We're going to come back with more here at RCE on the Richland campus. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. Time is 8:33, time of the temperature sign. That song, Come On Eileen, going out to my old colleague in the Schultz office, who is now working for State Senator Howard Markwein, Eileen O'Neill. Come on, Eileen. Give us some information here. Help us out. We appreciate her help if she could give it to us. Appreciate you all for listening. If you want to weigh in on this issue of the pending campus closure in Richland Center, give us a call. Toll free, won't cost you a dime. Area code 715-388-7155. Again, 715-388-7155. You're winning a lot of number. Doesn't matter whether you agree with me or you don't disagree with me. Give us a call. We'll put you on the air. We'll let you have your say and enlighten us. What should be done with Richland campus? What do you think is actually going on? How do we get some answers? That's what we're trying to get here. One of the people that joining me, by the way, is news director for WRCE and WRCO, Joanne Krulatz. We appreciate you taking the time on a busy morning for you. A short night.
I'm getting used to those.
Also, I'm jealous, Aaron. We gotta talk down there in Madison, the mothership, what's going on. Because I am looking, and look at this. Joanne has her own swag right here. She has a WRCO coffee mug with her name on it, by the way, engraved.
Compliments of Henry Bray. He got us those for Christmas.
Henry Bray, our sales manager here at WRCE, WRCO, does an outstanding job. One of the best salespeople I've ever known, actually. And yep. So we appreciate Henry up here in Richland Center, WRCE, as well.
Well, that's definitely something Joanne that we can do here. It's definitely something that we can do here. I know Jason has some really good local businesses picked out that can do customized merch, and they can do runs of one if you want. So,
all right. Well, we'll look into that. I think we need a little merch for the show, Aaron. We got to give something away, right? If we have people call in, then we could give something away. But we'll look into that. Joanne was at the event last night. It was a town hall meeting here at Richland Center at the Richland campus, and she's looking into this. Done a great job. And I know, Joanne, you have to play it down the middle, and you're the news director here. I can help be a little bit more opinionated. But as a reporter, if someone was in the room, one of the people last night, one of the community members speaking, was retired and former dean of the UW Richland campus, Dion Kempthorne, one of my favorite people in the world. I told him last night, he's a little shy to come on the radio. I said, Dion, you're literally one of these people that could read the telephone book, and it would be fat. He has his greatest voice.
Yep.
He entrances you. You understand? But one of the smartest people I've ever met. One of the most thoughtful people I've ever met. And you have a quote from what he said last night.
Well, he also shared a story how when he first became dean in like 1990, mm-hmm. he met Paul Fowle, one of the attorneys.
Yep.
On his deathbed.
Yep.
And he said, you know, to protect our campus. And I think that was another important thing that came out of the meeting. It's not the UW Richland or the UW Richland Platteville Richland. It is our campus. Mm-hmm. This community has taken ownership of that campus. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things he said. I've never heard it called the UW Richland. It's always been our campus.
That's awesome.
But so he applauded everyone there that is working so hard to try and get answers and to save UW-Richland. And he said that Jay Rothman's decision to close the campus was a hard one. But then he added that maybe it was a hard decision because it may not be the right one.
See, Dion's fantastic. He's absolutely right. It was a hard decision for President Jay Rothman because it's the wrong decision.
Very much so.
How can you rhetorically ask, I mean, how can you, if you're Jay Rothman, you're on the job for a couple of months, you never visit Richland Center, you never visit the Richland campus, and bada bing, bada boom, you decide to close it. That just seems absolutely irresponsible to me. I don't get it. What I do get is last night, after the meeting was over, I stuck around and I wanted to talk to Senator Markline, and I wanted to talk to Representative Kurtz, and I wanted to talk to Jeff Brandt, the Vice President of University Relations for the UW system, personally. Because regular listeners know that I've had some harsh things to say about Representative Markline, Representative Kurtz, professionally. I think that they're lacking, but I also want to give them the opportunity and fairness to come on the show unfettered and have their say, give their side of it. You know, tell me I'm wrong, prove to me that I'm wrong with some of this stuff. So I went up and I talked to Howard for a couple of minutes. I explained the show. I said, look, this is not gotcha stuff. I want to come on. I'll give you, you know, we got 3 hours. We'll give you all the time in the world. I'm not going to interrupt you. I said, I will ask pointed questions. But I said, I'll be respectful. I just want your side. And his response, he kind of paused and he looked at me and he said, well, I'll think about it. I got to go take a leak. He didn't use the word leak, but he said, I got to go take a leak. And he just blew by me, went to the restroom. So no commitment from Senator Markline to come on the show. So then I spent some time with Representative Kurtz, who was much nicer about it and actually spent time and listened. His daughter, of course, is an alum of the UW-Richland campus. And I said to Representative Kurtz, I said, come on the show. I gave him this same pitch. And again, his response is, well, I'll think about it. Okay, they've been offered time to come on. And then I said, Representative Kurtz, I said, Tony, what I don't get is I said, why don't you, as Joanne pointed out, the focus of the meeting last night was to find solutions, positivity. And I said, Tony, there's a real easy solution. I said, you sit on the Joint Finance Committee. Howard is the co-chair. I said, just use the 999. And he kind of got this smirk on his face, like, how did you know about that? I said, just you. He goes, well, they haven't done that in a couple of sessions. I said, but it's still there, right? Well, I'd have to check on it. Here's what a 999 is, ladies and gentlemen. Say,
please explain 999.
So the Joint Finance Committee is the budget writing committee of the legislature. And they meet every 2 years for the biennial budget to create a 2-year budget for the state. And it's, it's all Republicans because they're the majority party of both houses, except for 2 Democrats on the Senate side and 2 Democrats on the representative side, on the assembly side. And so they take up, through the course of the budget writing process, it's divided out. You know, university system is one portion. Then you've got DNR and you've got, you know, all the different agencies. They take them up by agency, basically. And during that time, you can make motions to put something in the budget if it, you know, germane to that topic. So both Senator Markline and Representative Kurtz, if they wanted to, could offer a motion when the system budget is up for discussion, and they could fully fund the campus here at Richland Center with a motion. But if they don't want to do that, there's something called a 999. It's kind of an unofficial thing that's known in the legislature. And what happens is, at the end of the budget writing, after all the other agencies are done, the last thing they do is they go around the table. And everybody on Joint Finance, you get one shot. You get to put one thing in the budget if you want to. Doesn't matter how crazy it is. Doesn't matter if the funds are actually there. You get a shot. So if Howard and Tony want to wait, they could use their shot and just say, we're going to fund Richland and have it all written, the motion. Here's our shot, boys. They're the majority party. So I said to Representative Kurtz, I said, come on, Tony. I said, shoot your shot for us. give us your best shot. Come on now. We want some representation. He smiled. He laughed. He said, well, we'll see. He goes, I'm not sure we can do that anymore. I said, your buddy Howard is the co-chair of the joint finance. He runs the thing. Come on now. See, that's the thing, you guys. That's the thing that's both funny but not, right? It's frustrating that we have the power in our representatives of this area to get things done. I talked last night. The late state senator, our state representative, Cheryl Albers, who represented this area for years, she was a member of joint finance. My former boss was a member of joint finance, and they brought millions of dollars into this area. The Yuba sewer system up there, the list goes on and on of projects, millions of dollars that they got done because they were members of the joint finance. Senator Markline is the chairman. They are the majority party. If you want to play politics, great. Put Governor Tony Evers in a box, fund the Richland campus, and say, Governor, we dare you to veto it. I mean, heck, Republicans put out a press release going after Tony Evers because he wouldn't ban TikTok on state phones. They wanted to put him in a box over TikTok. Why not put him in a box over something that matters? Higher education, the Richland campus, forced Tony Evers to veto it. If you want to play politics, fine. I don't care as long as we get the Richland campus. But here's the kicker. The last person, well, actually was the first person I talked to. This happened first. Then I came back in and talked to Senator Markline and Representative Chris. Joanne was there.
Somebody hollered, don't hit him.
I would never resort to violence. So there's a guy named Jeff Barant. And God love him. I hope he's listening this morning because I told him we got this show. Jeff Barant, a longtime Democrat who was chief of staff for State Senator Bob Jauch, who represented Northern Wisconsin, Superior, Bayfield, Ashland. Great senator, great guy. And in his last term, Senator Jauch's and my former boss's, Dale Schultz's last term, and as it turned out, Senator Cullen, a Democrat from the Janesville area, his last term, they banded together to stop the mining legislation in northern Wisconsin, where Scott Walker wanted to basically rape the mining laws or the environmental laws in the state so they could sell this land to a Chinese company to do some terrible mining in northern Wisconsin. And of course, it was all done in the name of jobs, all these jobs. Well, the first round, they were defeated by Dale Schultz, Bob Jauch, and Tim Cullen because Dale Schultz, because there was a one-seat majority by the Republicans at the time. And Dale Schultz and Bob Jauch and Tim Cullen, Tim and Dale have both been majority leaders, and Bob had been high up in the Democrat leadership at one time. They knew the system. So Jeff Barant and I, who was chief of staff to Bob Jauch, we spent nights working together into the wee hours of the morning, figuring out the strategy, how this is all going to work. And we beat Scott Walker. Our bosses did, but we helped. Because Dale crossed over and joined the Democrats, and they took control of the floor of the state Senate away from Scott Fitzgerald and the Republicans. And that is the worst position if you're a leader of a party on a legislative body. Once you lose control of the floor, anything can happen. Anything. And they had the opportunity. If they had wanted to, they could have voted Dale or Bob Jauch or anybody else majority leader and president of the Senate, and they could have taken over the Senate. But they didn't in the name of the institution. But what they did do is they stopped that mining legislation from happening. Until then, the Republicans had these recall elections, and what the building, what they called it, we had to Schultz-proof, quote-unquote, Schultz-proof the Senate. And so they got more Republican members, so Dale, he couldn't stop anything, with just one, his one vote. But here's the point. Jeff Barant and I worked hours at a time. Know this guy well. Good guy. And so then he goes over. Now he is a big wig. He's the vice president of university relations. Like, he's number two or three in the entire UW system. He makes $200,000 a year. I mean, last report, like 2 or 3 years ago, I could find he was like at 143. And that's before. Now there used to be somebody for the state relations and the federal relations. Now he does both. I would be surprised if he hasn't cracked 200,000. But let's just say he's at 150,000, all right? Our state representative makes about $57,000 a year. Jeff Barant's number one job is to inform both the Wisconsin congressional delegation in Washington of what's going on with UW system and all of the state legislature in the Capitol. He is the liaison between the system president and the most high-ranking officials in state and federal government. He gets about, like I say, $150,000, $175,000, $200,000 a year. So I asked Representative Kurtz last night. I said, so you're telling me, I said, I'll take your word. I'll believe you. You were told the day before this went public. I said, doesn't it bother you that a guy who's making three times what you make didn't have the courtesy to call you and give you a heads up that they were going to close the campus in your district? He said, well, do you know how much I make? I said, yes. I said, and Jeff Brandt makes more than that. And when we come back, I'll tell you the rest of the story. It's fantastic. Don't go anywhere. You're on the Todd Allbull Show. Welcome back to the Todd Allbull Show. Time is 10, make it to 8:50. 10. Good gosh, Todd. I need some more coffee here. We are coming to you live from the WRCE studios here in Richland Center, Wisconsin this morning. I am joined by WRCE, WRCO News Director Joanne Krulotz, who is playing the dutiful reporter role and giving us just the facts, ma'am and sir. Todd is giving a bit more context and opinion because, you know, that's the name of the game for our show. That's one of the reasons I really enjoy it. We're talking about the town hall meeting last night held here at the Richland campus in Richland Center at the Pippin Conference Room here at UW Richland on the pending closure, the announcement last fall, over buried in the Thanksgiving week, hoping that nobody would take notice. They released it over Thanksgiving. Jay Rothman, the president of UW System, saying that due to low enrollment and financial reasons, that he was ordering the Platteville interim chancellor, Chancellor Tammy Ivedovich, to close the campus, and that they would have a report by January 15th. And, of course, they did not hold any listening sessions between Thanksgiving and January 15th to ask the community what they wanted. They just sent out an edict, basically, again, saying that there would be no in-person classes, and we'll try to figure out what to do moving forward. So we were talking before we went to break there that I had a discussion with Representative Kurtz and Representative Markline. I invited them both on this program anytime they want, for as long as they want, to get their side out. They said, quote, we'll think about it. So I was talking to Representative Kurtz and talking about the vice president for university relations, Jeff Brandt from System, who was there last night, who I know very well. Longtime Democrat, chief of staff to former state senator Bob Jelk, had a lot of nights trying to figure out how to defeat Scott Walker on environmental laws. And we did it for a while. And so I said to Representative Kurtz last night, I said, doesn't it bother you that a guy who makes three times at least your salary or more, and his number one job is to inform you of what's going on, that he didn't let you know until the day before? Doesn't that bother you? And he just kind of smiled and didn't say, didn't really have a reaction. So before I talked to Kurtz and Markline, I saw Jeff Brandt, my friend Jeff Brandt. I hadn't seen him in a while. And he was there. He had some assistant, staffer, a lackey. I don't know. Nice kid, seemed like. And maybe it was a driver. I don't know. And because, you know, a guy that makes $200,000 a year probably has a driver. I don't know. I've never made that much money. I don't know. But anyway, I said, Jeff Brandt, how you doing? I gave him a big handshake and a smile, and he returned the favor. And he said, "Hi, Todd Allbull, I thought I'd see you here tonight." I said, "Yeah, great. How you doing?" He said to me, "He said, how you doing?" I said, "Well, Jeff, not very well, not very well." I said, "In light of this news, yeah." He says, "I know it's tough." I said, "Jeff, I got this little radio show now, and I said, so I'm going to ask you on the record." So he knew this was on the record. He knew this conversation was on the record. I told him, and I had friends around me that heard this. So I have witnesses. Joanne, I think, saw part of this. And I said, Jeff, I said, tell me. I said, tell me on the record. I said, when did you tell these guys? Well, he said, what do you mean? I said, when did you tell these guys about the campus closing? He said, who? I said, Markline and Kurtz, when did you tell them? Well, they said, you know, it was the day before. I said, come on now, Jeff. I said, we've been friends for a long time. I said, we took it to Scott Walker together. I said, come on now, you haven't gone to the other side, have you? No, he goes, I haven't gone to the other side. He started walking away. I said, Jeff, a guy that makes what you do, and I said, and your number one job is to keep these guys informed, you're telling me that you didn't tell them that their campus in their own district was closing? You didn't tell them until the day before you told the public? And he walked away and he started walking out of the building to the parking lot. And I followed him. Now, look, I'm no Mike Wallace. This is no 60 Minutes, but I followed him. I mean, this is a guy I know, you know? And I said, Jeff, I just want to talk. I said, I'm just trying to get answers for people. I said, these people in this community deserve real answers. I said, is this something that Tommy Thompson, former governor and former president of the UW system, who preceded Jay Rothman, I said, is this something that Tommy dumped in your lap and your boss had to clean up? And he turned and he stopped and he looked at me and he said, no, this was my boss's decision. So I said, you're telling me that Jay Rothman made this decision independently all alone? Yes. I said, you're telling me that you didn't tell the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee in the majority party in the state legislature until the night before you told the public? I said, come on now, Jeff, I wasn't born on a weekend. He said, that's the answer. It might not be what you like, but that's the answer, unquote. You know what he did say? He did say, that's the truth. He said, that's the answer. You might not like it, but that's the answer. I know these guys. I know how they talk. I know words matter, right? A guy that I know, a Democrat who I worked with to help our bosses stop Scott Walker's environmental law, and he got his car and he drove away. He wouldn't talk to me. Now, I'm telling you, if he was on the right side of the truth, wouldn't he want to look at me in the eye and say, Todd, you're barking up the wrong tree. I'm here to tell you, based on our friendship, I'm telling you the truth. They didn't get a heads up. That might not be the right thing to do. They might not be happy with it. I might not always agree with my boss, but that's the truth. He could have told me that, but he didn't. He avoided me. And he just kept on. And I said, look, I don't want to be a jerk here. I might not have said jerk. I said, I don't want to be a jerk. I'm not trying to get in. I said, I just want the truth. I just want answers for our community. And he wouldn't talk to me. I'm telling you, there's something going on. Joanne, without taking an opinion here, but just from a reporter standpoint, does this smell right to you?
No. And I have questions as a reporter. As a resident of the community, off the air, I'm not a reporter in this one. As a resident of the community, as an alumnus of the campus, as a former host of the international program and working there, I felt like I was punched in the gut when the news came. Mm-hmm. And I just felt that it was another nail on the coffin for Richland County, because we're already hurting budget-wise due to the shared revenue system. And then now you're closing our campus. Todd, I remember the days when you and I were both students there at the same time.
We were.
You were fresh out of high school. I was a non-traditional student. And that camp, we were lucky if we could find a parking place.
Right.
And a seat in the student center to sit down and have lunch and study. I mean, it was packed.
It was.
What happened?
Well, what happened was that the campus has been set up for failure. The funding got cut by the legislature. The shared revenue got cut. Sean Murphy Lopez, the vice chair of the county board, is going to join us in our third hour to talk more about this. It was set up for failure. And here's the takeaway, folks, and we'll talk about this more next hour. It's time for a full investigation by the Fiscal Bureau of this state, by the Legislative Reference, or by the Audit Bureau of this state. There's time for oversight. There is fiscal mismanagement. There is absolutely mismanagement in the system, and Jay Rothman ought to go. If one guy, as Joanne pointed out, has that much power, if Howard Marklight has lost all his power to Jay Rothman, an appointed official, it's time for him to go. In the words of Al Gore, it is time for them to go. And if Howard Marklight and Tony Kurtz can't make this happen...